have you not seen this? Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys. Woo.
Thanks for sticking around.
2:05 a.m.
Yeah.
You got the troopers.
For those of you who don't know what the fuck is going on, my name is Dustin Meadows. I run a podcast called How Have You Not Seen This, where I show other comedians my favorite movie for the first time. And Gateway was super cool and let us do this for RoboCop tonight. So thank you guys for sticking around. Yeah, I'm being super excited about it. This is going to be a real fun, real weird time. So we're going to get into it. As I mentioned, my name is Dustin Meadows. I'm joined by Laura Sanders and Mike Kolar, who will actually be serving as guest host, and Peter Brick.
Hey.
And Mike Kolar, this is actually our second time doing RoboCop on this podcast because RoboCop is just that good, you guys. And when I did this the first time, Mike was actually my guest on the show because he had somehow not seen this. Yep. So I thought it'd be fun to bring him back this time around. And I love this movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Very violent, very fun. You guys saw it. You know. You understand. You get it. You came out at midnight to see goddamn RoboCop.
Have all of you seen it already or no? And...
Yeah.
Any first timers? Okay.
I know how it ends.
Well, now we all do.
There you go.
Just to be clear for those listening at home, there's about 100 people in the audience.
Yeah, it's very fast.
Yeah. Please stand up so we can see you.
Yeah. Okay. It's okay.
Not all at once. Hold your applause till the end, please. So we're gonna get into it. We're gonna find out how these guys, Laura, how have you not seen RoboCop?
I don't know, because now that I've seen it, I feel like it's what I should have been watching my whole life.
You're not wrong.
Because, again, when you described it, I was like, I love Time Cop. I love Die Hard.
All wonderful.
RoboCop is like, it's like in a romantic comedy where they just keep missing each other by like a little bit. That's RoboCop for me. So now we finally met.
Wait, are you McConaughey and RoboCop is Kate Hudson in this scenario?
Exactly.
All right, that's fair.
I'd like to be McConaughey, thank you.
All right, that's you're welcome. Peter, how have you not seen this?
What year did this come out again?
1987.
You don't get to use that excuse. I was one, and I still don't. You're exhausted that this
movie came out before I was born excuse.
Here's the thing, all right? I remember my mom watching RoboCop. And I walked into the room, she was watching RoboCop, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And she's like, no, this is too violent. Go outside and play. And then fast forward into my life, I just never, like, saw it. Like, it flew under the radar for me. Like, that, like, most 80s movies have flown under the radar.
Hold on, two questions. First, how old were you when your mom said, no, RoboCop, go play outside?
I forget. I was young enough to, like, have
ballpark
to.
Yesterday.
Young enough to be told to go outside and play.
All right, we're gonna call it 6 or 7.
Yeah, we're gonna call it.
Second question: how did you walk in on something like RoboCop, have your mom say no, and then you didn't watch it behind her back?
She was like
ruled with an iron fist.
Were
you raised behind the iron curtain? Is that what happened here?
A little bit. Yeah, I lost relatives.
All right, that's fair. Really, Kolar? Really? You kept your phone off during the movie, but you turned it on for the podcast.
He's so bored right now.
I was going to say, I understand where Peter's coming from, because my family, they took my brothers and sisters to see it before I was born, and they walked out of it because it was so violent.
How old were your brothers and sisters?
They are 10 years older than me.
But like, how old were they when they all went to RoboCop as a family fun day?
Far too young to see RoboCop as a family fun. At least probably like 10 or 11. So a little too young.
Your family sounds like a bunch of nerds.
They walked out of RoboCop, and I don't understand. But
did they think that it was just going to be a cop, like, doing normal cop stuff, not murdering? Were they like, this will teach our kids to obey the law and trust cops?
It was a simpler time in the 80s when things were violent and no one cared.
I mean, the movie's pretty upfront with what it is. Half man, half machine, all cop.
Yeah.
Or part man, part machine, all cop. Sorry.
Is this like a precursor to Judge Dredd? When did Dredd come out compared to this? As far as like justice being served.
The magazine that he was in, 2000 AD, would have been out around then, right? Gordon, you raised your hand like you knew.
Yes. Okay.
So, like, initially RoboCop was supposed to be a Judge Dredd movie, like early concept art. It's actually, it is Judge Dredd.
Yeah,
it seems
very much
Judge Dredd. But yeah, Frank McMurphy instead. I just gave him the first name Frank. I've decided his first name is Frank to me.
Frank Dredd?
No, Frank Murphy.
No, it's Alex Murphy.
It's Alex Murphy.
But I call him Frank.
All right,
we're
fair
close.
Enough. Fair enough.
We're close, or I'm like an uncle that doesn't remember him. I'm like, ah, Frank, you.
That's fair.
I'm an aunt. I'm a woman.
Okay. there's something else. I wanted to bring this up because I just saw Chappie this week.
That's a good one.
The first 5 minutes of Chappie are just ripping off RoboCop so hard.
There are
robots who are also cops. The core principle is ripping off RoboCop.
Yeah, but they weren't human. They were like always robots.
Well, that's true.
And but, you can't be like, they're robots that are also nurses. Like, the cop is the thing you're going to have them be.
Well, yeah.
If you're going to have a robot have a job that's not like AI seductress.
Yeah.
Like all female robots are cast as, by the way.
Wait, hold on. All female robots are cast as?
Yes.
As the female robots
okay.
live amongst
all
us?
All female characters and all female robots that are also actresses
okay.
are cast. They only are cast as like sexy, like I'm just here to fuck with a man.
I mean,
they're like the bitches that are asked to leave.
Oh, yeah.
They're
yeah.
not, they don't get to be like cops or judges.
Lord, to be fair, when the lady cops saw that man's penis, that's what started the whole movie.
I don't know.
That's what everything.
That's what like snowballed everything into robot.
Not to double
like,
lady cops.
No, that's true. That scene should have just been played in every like Catholic high school ever. It's like if you look at a man's penis, he'll punch you in the face.
Alex Murphy will get killed.
Yeah, your partner gets massacred violently.
It seemed like a very like strange yeah. like people got it was weird because it was like people always got punished for sexy times in that movie whereas like blow off a woman's chest you'll get murdered by grenade look at a penis you'll get punched off a balcony
and your partner will get murdered
Sir Murphy how did this happen sexual deviancy
exactly.
I thought Chappie was a Charlie Chaplin biopic so.
It is it's from his robot era
yeah. God damn it. I'm sorry. Well, I mean, it's only that first 5 minutes of Chappie anyway. Then the rest of it is just this weird short circuit thing, and also Danforth is in it.
Yeah.
So, it's a whole thing.
Gotta get those baby bangs.
Yeah. Now, Mike, we had you on before, and you love this fucking movie
I love it. It's great seeing it on the big screen.
Yeah.
I think we watched it on your, I don't know if it was the tiny,
It was on my tiny shitty TV.
And it was still great.
On his phone. You guys watched it on his phone.
Yeah, we
watched it on my phone. Yeah. Everybody else here, I assume, is this your first time seeing it on the big screen?
Big screen.
You guys can say words. It's cool.
Yeah, we're all just hanging out.
We're just having a fun little intimate time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome seeing this on a big screen. Not one of my favorite movies that I can cross off that list.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, besides like the giant like stop motion animation robot, it holds up really well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Even that's not like it's not just like it's a little.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Well, it's back because in the 80s, they weren't afraid of using squibs.
Yeah. Just all the squibs.
Oh, my
God. So many squibs.
So many squibs. Hey, we got to shoot this guy in a boardroom. How many squibs should we use? It's 200 too many.
All of the squibs. What's our budget? What's our squib budget?
The reaction, okay, it's really set the scene in the beginning that they're like, this man just got shot 200 times, and half of the people give no shits at all.
And then like, they're just like,
hey,
mad.
It's just life in the big city.
Yeah, and then they're like, this isn't normal. Like, I feel like they might have been like, that's Wall Street. It's basically like the reaction to every death everywhere. I'm like, no, it's not normal that in your fast-paced business, a man gets murdered by a giant robot. You haven't even met that giant robot yet, and you are not shocked that it exists or that it just murdered a man you've known for a while.
Yeah, it just happened. They're like, damn it, Richard.
I know.
You really dropped the ball on this.
I think it's really weird that we still get movies with like empathetic and caring robots like Iron Giant or Wall-E or just like we just mentioned, Chappie, when most robots are probably more likely to do the Ed 209 thing and fucking shoot you to death.
Most people, really, with this movie.
Yeah.
Ed 209 seemed to like just shoot anybody for really anything. like
20 seconds is not a long time.
Yeah. I feel like there gets to be so many jaywalkers that got murdered. Like his only option was like kill after 20 seconds.
Yeah.
For like a parking violation, or I just feel like I'd get murdered. They'd be like, you didn't return your library books again. I murdered you.
Yeah, Mike. 20 seconds is an excessive amount of time to be given to put your gun down, but it's not enough time to move your car.
No.
It needs to be some balance.
It's
here.
Really the fact that it's in Detroit is, I think, fairly great.
Yeah, because they just shot in Detroit. They didn't do anything different.
It's fairly accurate of what's probably going to happen in the next couple of years.
Okay, this is maybe jumping the gun.
Oh, by all means, jump the gun.
But one of my favorite things was how flamboyant all the criminals were. That it was like, even in the very beginning where it was just showing like crime spree, like even the dudes, like it wasn't like, we're just going to attack a woman. They're like, we are going to team up. We're going to pose in front of this billboard of New Delta. We're going to like dramatically drape her against one of us and then like use a knife and discuss with each other what we're going to do. Like, it was just theatrical. Yeah, like, I feel like instead of, like, the auto business going under in Detroit, it was, like, the musical theater business, and then all these, like, former theater kids became very dramatic criminals.
Well, yeah, it's just Dick Tracy criminals, essentially. Just very over the top.
Even, like, the main criminal had, like, a very jaunty scarf on half the time, and then, like, his, like, main adversary guy was, like, drinking wine as he was going through his cocaine factory. Yeah. And it was just like there was nice details to their like, and did you notice when they all lined up to shoot him in the beginning, you're like, this is the village people of murdering. They were just so like, they each had their own little outfits and
yeah, their own little quirks, their own little personalities.
Yeah.
That was the future in the '80s, I think.
Yeah.
It's just jaunty criminals and cocaine.
While we're on it. How great is Kurtwood Smith as Clarence Boddicker in this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's so
hope
good.
You can hear us.
I like, probably most people in this room was introduced to Kurtwood Smith as Red Foreman from that 70s show.
Yeah.
So this, not necessarily a 180, but definitely a switch.
Yeah.
Bitches leave.
Yeah.
You know what,
can
Eric,
you fly, Bobby?
It's like, this is why Eric is so, like, scared of his dad.
Well, I mean, he should be.
He saw RoboCop.
He's an intense man.
Yeah.
Just watch that one episode of that 70s show where Red walks down in the basement. Bitches leave. Can somebody make that mashup happen now? I don't even care about the rest of this podcast. I just want that to exist now. Just Red Foreman as Clarence Boddicker and everything.
That has to exist. Like, the internet is a vast place. If someone hasn't done that yet,
they're slacking.
Yeah.
I agree. We'll look into that later.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. I also, something that I caught this time that I had never noticed before, Dick Jones and Clarence Boddicker both have the line, good business is where you find it. Just further hammering home that Paul Verhoeven, the director, and the people who wrote this film really did not care for the Reagan era and thought that it was very much in line with the criminals, which is not far off.
Yeah.
As far as satire, this movie... I hate this movie doesn't get the credit I think it deserves as being a really great satire of the era that created it.
Oh, I loved... I know, like, it was so... The campiness, like, the intentional commercials and the things like that.
Yes.
At first, with, like, the newscast, I was like, oh, this is so, like, 80s and that. Like, it was so, like, oh, this is... I was like, oh, no, they're doing it intentionally, and this is amazing. Yeah.
The Star Wars peace platform that misfired and killed 130 people.
Yeah.
The Nukem board game.
The Nukem board game was excellent.
The SUX 6000 with its 8.2 miles per gallon.
What was the guy? I'd buy that for a dollar. What was his business?
No, it was a show. It was a TV show.
Oh.
That was just supposed to be like a shitty sitcom.
I thought he was like a mattress salesman.
No, it was just a show. And just really... hammering home that catchphrase. It's weird. I think the character's name is like something Bigsby. And I only know this because every time that I tweet something RoboCop related on Twitter, it automatically gets at replied
by somebody with the avatar of this guy, and the response is always, I'd buy that for $1.
Oh my gosh.
So somebody made a Twitter bot to do the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
That is amazing.
Or it's some guy just like waiting.
I mean, that's worse than a bot being programmed to do that.
Well, what if it's that actor?
The irony that he has a robot doing that is kind of...
Did he learn nothing from the N209 of its glitch?
Come on.
That Twitter bot is going to murder you someday.
Oh, man. I mean, all the robots are going to murder us all someday.
Someday.
It's just something that we have to accept.
Yeah.
Something else, too, again, with the Reaganomics and stuff, the privatization of the police force in this movie, a huge...
I mean, they privatized everything, which is, I mean, it's pretty close to what's going on.
Yeah,
if you're a conspiracy theorist, if you watch the news,
it's not that far fetched.
No, then, not at all.
If they're going to do it anywhere, like it, like honestly, it probably happened in Detroit because, like, in the city of Detroit, like they don't have like much of a fire department or a police department due to like financial restraints. It's like, yeah, that's plausible.
And Red Foreman murdering all of them.
Of course. I guess what I really want to know is, where does the canon of 8 Mile fall into RoboCop? Where's that overlap? And also, why was there no Bob Seger in this movie if this was in Detroit? Why wasn't he singing anthems for the RoboCops?
He's just
in the
background. Like, yeah,
just hanging out.
I think it's a future without Bob Seger is what RoboCops
are. Oh, man.
Bob Seger never existed.
That's a dark future. Yeah.
That's what it was. It really does.
It's the darkest timeline.
Oh, man.
Well, this is a real intimate crowd. Do you guys have any questions, anything you want to chime in with here? We're all here.
All right.
Gordon, I know you do. I know you got some opinions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this has got to be my favorite, like, score to a movie. Like,
yeah, Basil Valladares' score is so fucking good.
Yeah. The makeup jobs were also amazing because I feel like the makeup people got to go crazy. The, like, melted face, the help me guy with the melted...
Oh, yeah, the toxic Avenger looking dude.
Like, so awesome. It was like it was a birthday party for, like, murder fans. Like, they just... like, they got to do so many different kinds, and they got to really have fun, and there was lots of, like...
All the squibs.
And again, the squibs, and again, with the fabulousness of all of the criminals, even when they died, they'd, like, pirouette off a, like, catwalk instead of just, like... you know, having the laws of gravity and physics apply.
Yeah, that factory shit was pretty great.
Yeah, you're like, I got shot. I'm going to run and twirl and leap. Yeah. And it was just wonderful.
How do you get shot?
I mean, I would hope that gracefully, but I just
can't. They all maintained, like, a certain level of poise, even when Clarence is shooting Robert. In his legs over and over again. Robert's still like, stop it.
Stop it.
Oh, poor Bob Morton.
I'm telling.
He really did fuck with the wrong guy.
I'm glad those bitches got to leave.
Can't have those bitches getting murdered on Laura Sanders' watch.
No, I assume the sequel to that is them going to college and getting good jobs.
The sequel for them, I hope. Unfortunately, the sequel for RoboCop is not that, and it's terrible.
It exists?
There's RoboCop 2 and 3, and
a new one.
An animated series, I believe.
I actually would watch that. I would sneak up. And I wasn't supposed to, but I would get up.
Thank you.
At 6 in the morning, and I'd watch the RoboCop cartoon. And that's how I fought the system.
You snuck in the animated series, but not the movie.
Like,
it was a lot harder to do. It was a lot harder to do.
To be fair, the animated series is way more violent.
Yeah.
No, that's not true at all.
And Clarence is in the theme song.
Is the theme song just Bitches Leave auto-tuned?
Bitches Leave.
In one of the sequels, is Lewis a lady RoboCop?
No, sadly.
What?
The sequels...
Again, because they don't let women be awesome robots, only sexy robots.
You're right. You're not wrong. No, the sequels get more and more ridiculous. I think Frank Miller wrote the second one.
And Frank Miller is a goddamn batshit lunatic who's written maybe 3 good comics his entire life and has coasted by on those and written a lot of terrible garbage. And in the third one, there are robot ninjas and RoboCop gets a jetpack, which is not as cool as it should be.
It's like a very mediocre jetpack, given that he's like a human.
Well, it's not even Peter Weller in the third one. It's a different actor completely.
Oh, really?
Is he Murphy, though? He's just like, I look different now because I'm an aging robot.
I think he just ends up being RoboCop in the other ones.
Just has the same jawline as Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 2 and 3, non-essential viewing, in case anyone here was
watching. Is it like Die Hard 4, where it just makes you angry?
Oh, God.
I never saw that.
Die Hard 4 at least had Timothy Oliphant.
Wait, was that the one where he's in Russia, or is that...
No, that's 5.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of 5 then, not 4.
Yeah.
Well, 5 is the dog shit one.
Yeah.
The hacking one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. 4, yeah, 4 is the hacking one. Yeah.
Oh, 4 is the hacking
four
one?
4 is the hacking one. We watched 4.
Oh, then fuck 4. Yeah, that's the bad one.
Is 2 and 3 worse than the new one?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, there's a new RoboCop. Because
that was like, I put it on Netflix and it was like unwatchable.
Did anybody see that? The new RoboCop?
Oh,
I saw the
new RoboCop.
What'd
you
think?
Yeah, no, that's about accurate. Omar from The Wire is in it and he kills it for the 5 minutes of screen time he has. And Michael Keaton is actually really good as the villain.
I don't know if I watched it at all.
Aside from that, the remake really doesn't have a whole lot going on.
Well, and it was PG-13 too, wasn't it?
There was that too.
Oh, man.
So the tone of it is completely different. Yeah. I don't know. Like it tries to make its own points. Like it tries to do its own commentary, and it does not work.
Ladies, could you get out?
I will say,
please escort yourselves out.
Oh, there's no bitches leave scene. They do, however, shoehorn in Jackie Earle Haley saying, I wouldn't buy that for $1. For literally no reason. They completely, discard the actual story from the original, and they try and do something dumb and different, but then they still feel the need for fan service, which I think is a real cop-out move.
That's like spitting blood on a piece of paper, like that one guy did.
Yeah, exactly.
I see you fans. Yeah. Fuck you. I know you're looking.
Give me my fucking phone call. I will say this, the remake, a friend pointed this out. Samuel L. Jackson plays almost like this Chris Matthews, Bill O'Reilly type talking head character with like a news show. And it's just him yelling about current events. But his character in that movie is the same thing he does in those credit card commercials. So while I was watching it, it was really fun to pretend that I was just watching that character exist in the new RoboCop continuity.
Like, he gets a lot of airline miles.
Yeah. And he's very angry about it. Just every scene, it's just him yelling. I want to say, I'm trying to remember, the remake, does RoboCop get back with his wife? Did that happen? Am I making that up?
I hope so.
No, I don't remember.
I don't think they did.
Okay, yeah, I just remember walking out just being like, oh, well, that's a movie that exists.
So if you were madly in love with someone, and then they died, and then were turned into a robot, and then they came and found you, but they weren't really the same person, like, what would you do?
Well, I mean, first of all, find out if he's got his dong.
Yeah, you can't look, he'll punch you off of a... You can never look
that's
at
true.
His dong.
What?
He becomes extremely
that's
violent.
The thing, too.
Probably a fairly mangled dong.
The implication...
They replaced everything, Mike.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, no.
The implication is that months have passed between Murphy dying and then coming back as RoboCop.
Yeah.
Months, but like that, it doesn't mean that she's like married off of someone else.
Lewis
like.
Actually explicitly says she started over. She moved on.
Yeah, but starting over and moving on, like that's, I don't know.
Maybe she's doing a poly thing. Who knows? You know, maybe Mrs. Murphy needed to switch things up. She could never love again, but man, did she like to party.
But that RoboCop is still your son's father.
Well, yeah.
So you still have to be like, you can hang out sometimes. Like, RoboCop has to have partial custody of your son.
I mean, legally, he's legally dead, too, though.
Yeah, I don't think they ever recognize him as, like, a sentient being.
So, like, RoboCop can't vote?
I think he gets...
Well,
like,
I mean, I don't think
robots
should be allowed to
like
vote, and I won't back down from that.
Does he get paid, and does he have to pay taxes?
Probably no to both of those.
Okay.
Also, it would be terrifying to be raised by a robot.
Would it be terrifying or the best time in your entire, like...
It would be cool until you hit your teenage years. And
well, then it's, like, embarrassing.
And then your dad is just a narc who busts up you and your buddy smoking pot in the basement.
Yeah. And shoots all your friends every 20 seconds.
Yeah. Are you guys doing whippets and listening to Anti-Flag in here? You have 20 seconds to comply.
No, Dad! No!
And then he shoots one of your friends and everyone's cool about it. They're like, that's just the business of smoking pot in a basement.
Yep.
And that's life in the big city.
In a lot of ways, that 70s show and RoboCop are the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, since that 70s show took place before this, I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that Red Foreman experienced some tragedy and became Clarence Boddicker.
Oh yeah.
Maybe Kitty got inoperable cancer and died or something.
Oh man.
And then like his son and him grew apart and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna rob banks and kill cops.
I'm just gonna put on this scarf and sashay right out there.
Oh, that's dark.
Could they remake the movie Boyhood with RoboCop? Just so we can see what happens being raised by a RoboCop dad. I feel like...
I mean, that's pretty much the only way that I will ever consider watching Boyhood, so yeah.
It would take another 12 years and a lot of convincing, but I think they could remake it.
I think if Richard Linklater isn't a fucking coward, he'll do it.
You hear that? We
I'm
know
calling
you're
you a
listening.
Coward, Richard Linklater.
Listen, Boyhood, we know you're listening. It would be called Robo Boyhood.
I'm on board with that. I'm on board with Robo prefixing any movie title. I feel like it just makes it better.
Roboyhood?
Yeah, there you go.
Roboyhood. And then the like spin off by a shittier movie studio would just be called Boy Cop. And it's just about a little boy that's a cop.
See, that's
terrible
that,
at it.
That already sounds better than RoboCop 2 and 3.
It's like the movie Big, but like opposite, like a grown man gets turned into a boy, but he's still a cop. And he's like, still gotta fight crime before my curfew. And then he like winks. Patent pending.
I'm
cop.
More for that. Somebody just said cop and a half. Here's all I can tell you about Cop and a Half. There's a scene where it's Tom Selleck, right?
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Oh, shit, it might be Burt Reynolds. I hope it's Tom Selleck.
Oh, this is a real movie.
This is a real movie. Where, for whatever reason, he has a little black kid follow him around like while he does cop stuff, which cannot be safe. And the only thing I remember is they go into a bar and either Burt Reynolds or Tom Selleck, whichever one it is, orders a beer or something, and then the kid orders milk in a dirty glass. That's
he
all
says
I can,
in a dirty
he
glass.
Says in a dirty glass because he thinks it's tough and it's just unhygienic, really.
Yeah, like, what kind of CD bar has milk on tap? It's
I want to watch this movie.
I don't know that you need to do that, Peter. But hey, it's your life, man. I'm not gonna tell you how to live it.
Your mom will allow you now.
I actually don't know about that.
She's like dirty glass. That
Cop and a Half is pretty racy.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of edgy.
All right. We like to do, now have you not seen this, we like to wrap up every episode with our favorite moments from the movie. So we are going to do that now. So, Peter, favorite moment?
Oh, there's so many.
Oh, I'm aware. It's literally just an hour and 40 minutes of nonstop favorite moments.
It's really hard to pick one. I like it when Ed, I really like the business meeting where Ed 209 goes off and like shoots.
Yeah, that's a pretty dope scene.
Because like, it's like you come home from work and your wife's like, "Hey, how was the meeting?"
Oh, one of my best friends got fucking ventilated today.
And you know, he just went into work like, "Oh, well, I'm gonna knock it out of the park at this meeting, and you know, I'm gonna climb the ladder." And he's like, "All right, he wants me to help test the new product." You have 20 seconds to comply. All right, put the gun down. You have 15 seconds to comply. Oh no!
I love that scene looks like the worst possible outcome if the Coke and Pop Rocks myth was true.
Yeah,
just a bunch of little explosions in your tum-tum.
Also, I really like that the scientists who build him had no better solution than just scratching at the wires.
Yeah.
Right. In the back. Oh. Like, they had no shutdown switch. Yeah. They had no,
hey,
like,
should we put a failsafe in our murder machine?
Yeah. They couldn't even unplug it. They had to rip a wire.
I know.
They couldn't unplug a wire. They had to, like, forcefully, like, destroy the machine.
It's the worst that could happen.
They're like, we should probably have a thing that can shut him down within 20 seconds, don't you think? Because I feel like that's like the window that things can hit.
Honestly,
the fan.
That guy was probably like, that was probably happened on purpose because they wanted him dead.
Oh, yeah. I did think that maybe he was like on to the other dude.
Yeah.
It's a bit over the top, though. I feel like you could just poison him.
This isn't Game of Thrones, Peter. This is Detroit. There are rules.
I would like it if he still had the giant robot poison him.
Shut down here, sequence got just... 30 seconds and counting. That's too long.
Eat this poison. I mean cake.
Poison.
All right, Mike, favorite moment.
I think this time it was the fact that the Toxic Avenger, when he got hit by the car, he literally exploded into a bag of blood.
Yes.
Which I imagine if you were covered in toxic waste is exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
Because you're basically melting. So I really liked, because I feel like that was like one of the most over the top. Everything else is like fairly brutal. That was like, okay, this guy is just a bag of blood.
This guy just turned into a water balloon filled with
it
blood
was kind
and
of
organs.
Insane.
Oh, man.
All right, Laura,
okay. Well, my first one was Flamboyant Criminals, which I mentioned before. Along the lines of gratuitous, just right in the beginning of the movie, they're like, we're the kind of movie that quickly shows you a pair of boobs.
Yep.
Just real quick, just to set the scene that this is an 80s movie. And then the second, just in like the theme of gratuitous, that the scientists who built RoboCop were like, make sure he has like a giant, nice booty. Like, I just feel like if you watch him walk around, he had just like this crazy butt. Like, he had this really nice butt, and they're like, make sure that's part of him. Like, we have to rebuild everything. Because that guy, Murphy, didn't seem like he had a nice butt.
Oh, no, he was real strong.
He was a flat butted man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so they're like, let's give him like a 2.0 level ass.
We're
so
redefining male beauty.
And like, put the crease in there. Like, they have like a very, like, they're like, how is he going to fight crime if he doesn't have an implication of where his butt crease was when he was a man?
He's curvy now.
Yeah, he's curvy.
I also love that Alex Murphy showed up for the first day on the job in a new precinct. In the worst fucking shirt I've ever seen. It was just this hideous, like, generic looking shirt that, like, your friend's divorced dad would wear.
Oh, gosh.
It was just a terrible shirt. At the heart of this movie is really just about a guy who has the absolute worst first day on the job ever. Like, that's what this boils down to.
The guy was like, welcome to hell, and he's like, no, literally, your life is going to be a waking nightmare starting today. You are going to be half robot, and you'll never be able to die, and you'll have to keep doing this.
Jesus.
Welcome to hell.
Was that Dante?
Yeah. It's all the levels.
Which that's circle is that?
All of them.
All the
robo-circles.
I'm going to that circle. The robo-cop circle.
The one where you get robot parts and a dope-ass gun. I think for me, my favorite parts of this movie is the first pursuit scene that ends with Murphy getting killed, like from the chase up to the factory, because it's just so violent and so good. And I always grin when I hear Clarence Boddicker say, "Can you fly, Bobby?"
it was supposed to be Bob Seger, actually, originally.
Yeah. Turn the page, Bobby! And then the other one for me is that final scene in the boardroom. And especially just that real big wink nod moment. What's your name, son? Murphy. Bam! RoboCop theme song. And it just perfectly encapsulates what this movie is.
Yeah.
Cool. So
really,
I think that
leaves it open for a sequel.
Leaves it open for a pretty shitty sequel. But
what's your name? Frasier.
Oh, man. Frasier and RoboCop would be pretty goddamn dope. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks, Gateway, for letting us do this. Thank you guys for sticking around.
Yeah, you're great.
And thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Click. Mute. All it does is mute it.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can
can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.